Hi, and welcome to the Georgia Politics Podcast. I'm Joseph G of Monotonous.net and Doraville.org. We're here to talk about Georgia politics. With me tonight are...
Decatur Guy of Atlanta Public Affairs.
And Randy Lewis of GeorgiaDailyDigest.com and GeorgiaPoliticalDigest.com.
Catherine Smith from BlogForDemocracy.org and Georgia for Democracy.
Bernita from Blog for Democracy.
Great. Well, thank you all for being here. This is a really exciting time for Georgia politics right now because there's so much going on. We've got a lot of races happening. They're kind of getting to the finish line. After a summer and a fall of not really seeing much action on either side, October seems to be the month when politics season really got started. I kind of wanted to go over some of the campaign ads that have been being shown lately. But the first one I want to do is... I want to show you this ad from Sonny Perdue, and it's him and his wife, and they are talking about Mark Taylor's mean ads that are full of lies, and their dog is not going to be watching TV for the political season. Here it is.
He's started. The big guy trying to win with big, tall tails.
Mary, Lucy and I were hoping we'd get through this election without all those nasty, untrue ads that Mark Taylor's unleashing.
I'm not going to let Lucy watch TV anymore.
I know you won't believe those ads, but if you want the real truth, go to the web at youdeservetoknowthetruth.com and get the real facts.
It's such a shame.
I think what I find most interesting about that ad is that Mary Perdue is really the star of the campaign, and she's been the star all the way through the race that Perdue has had with Taylor. Just kind of want to throw that out there for discussion, see if you guys have any thoughts about what we just saw.
I find these ads fascinating, and I think they're very effective sort of outside of that, the insider game of politics. A couple of things I think are in play, and it's a psychological game they're playing with Mark. One, they're putting Mary Perdue out there because they know how difficult it is for Mark to put his wife out there, her being the third wife that he has. Second, it gives him that folksy Central Georgia sort of look and appearance, which is something that's going to sell very well around the state, and it's certainly in the suburban market around Atlanta. And finally, it's preemptive. It's a preemptive strike on Mark before he even runs his first negative ad, and it says, you're going to be saying a lot of terrible things about us. We just want you to know we're going to respond to all of it. They reserve this incredible website URL address. They start sending people to this. I think the whole thing was sort of brilliant. Now, I'm saying that irregardless of the politics of what's being played out here, I just thought it was a very smart political ad for somebody to run and to preempt somebody else's negative campaigns.
I think the ads are good, but I think they're using her too much. At a point, it's great to have your wife in the commercial, but at a point, I want to hear from the governor in the ads. I want to know what the governor has to say. It seems like they're sort of using her as a crutch, because if the governor actually opens his mouth, he usually says something pretty stupid.
Well, it's kind of like the governor's whole term in office, actually, because he really hasn't said a whole lot, and maybe that's why he's so popular right now, at least according to the polls. It's just that he hasn't really done a whole lot, one way or the other.
He's a ministerial governor.
Yeah.
He manages the affairs of state. Is this the guy you're going to go to for some, even on a conservative side, a very progressive conservative program? Probably not. He's not out there doing those kinds of things. He's a ministerial governor. He takes care of the business that comes to him, and he doesn't go looking for trouble.
I just think it's ridiculous that you say that your dog's not going to watch TV. I mean, I think you're right, Randy. I think they're masterfully produced, and they probably do appeal to people. But if you just ask the next question, it's ridiculous. But ridiculous works in a lot of cases. So,
but they're never going to ask the next question. I think they're using Mary because they need to get to the women demographic, and it would have been a completely different commercial if Kathy would have won. So I agree with Randy. I mean, it's just great, especially the next day when you got the Mark Taylor hates Boy Scouts mailer. I mean, literally, that was sent the next day after that, you know, that commercial ran. But we're not going negative. No, we'll just, you know, our mailers will go negative. We're not going negative on the air. So I think, you know, using Mary has been effective. Hey, I'd do it if I was him.
What, one thing I thought was kind of funny is that the Internet Predator ad that we mentioned in the last show, that got pulled really quick after the Mark Folia scandal broke.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was kind of a funny little incident with that. Here, the next ad that I wanted to show you guys is a Mark Taylor ad. It's about Sunny's Sunny Do List, and here it is.
What's on your Sunny Do List?
Want to see his Sunny Do List? Use office to buy land. Get rich. Get a $100,000 tax break for myself. Give $1 billion tax cut to corporations. What was on the list for us? Cut $1 billion from our schools. Don't raise the state minimum wage. And cut health care, even for special needs children. No money for that. We need a governor who puts us at the top of his list.
I think those ads are good, really good. I like the tone of them. They're kind of carnival-like. You know, they have that clever music, and they're short.
It's IP sounding.
Yeah, they're short, music, yeah. But they're full of information. You know, there's I think three of them, and there's one there where they even play the call in to the radio where that guy, he said, well, you have to be elected governor or whatever he said. Sure. I think they're very clever, and I think. At first I thought that land deal wasn't going to resonate with people, but I talked to a lot of people during my work day that are not politically engaged, and I normally don't talk about politics, but if it comes up, I kind of ask, you know, try to be subtle. And it is resonating with people. They are like, well, because there's that one ad that Sonny did where he says, well, if he offers me $10 million, I'll take it. And it's like, well, you know, wait a minute. That was a bad. I thought that ad was a bad thing to react to Mark's campaign. But I think I like those ads.
I think I'm gonna have to disagree.
You don't like them?
No.
Why not?
I don't like them because I think we're behind in every poll. Beyond any poll, we're behind in reality. We need to hit the things that are important to Georgia. Show us the meat and potatoes. Show us the kitchen cabinet and kitchen table issues. I mean, there's so much that we can go after Sonny Perdue and the Republican legislators since they control both House and Senate and governorship and a governor's office. But instead, we're playing around with Disneyland music.
Here's the thing,
though. And we're playing around with Disney. And I'm not sure people can wrap their heads around this land deal, that deal, land deal, more deals. I just think we could have came a lot more clever about the issues and forced the questions to Sonny. What have you done?
That would have been great if you had started 3 or 4 months ago. But yeah. I think Mark Taylor right now is waiting in the low 30s, about 10 points behind the traditional Democratic vote in the state for a serious candidate. He knows he can't get to 50%. His only chance right now is to get enough to present enough air of scandal around Sonny Perdue that even Republicans or enough Republicans don't want to vote for him so that he can push Perdue to 48, 49%, push them to the Libertarian side, maybe draw down the vote somehow, get them to skip the race. He knows that's his only chance is to send it into a runoff. So we're beyond the point of saying, what is Mark Taylor going to do to improve Georgia? Right now, we're just trying to degrade Sonny Perdue into pushing his vote down because he knows he can't get 50% at this point.
But whether you get 50% or not, there's a huge bunch of undecideds that aren't going to the polls, which affects everyone on that Democratic ticket down ballot. If you're not forcing the issue at the top of the ballot, all those people who are in lower races running for House seats who are forcing the issues and talking about the things that matter is going to the wasteland because they're out there fighting by themselves when our top of the ticket isn't saying that same thing.
You're assuming that the top of the ticket cares about the rest of the Democratic Party, and I don't think
that's
true.
Okay, I'm sorry, but I try to keep hope alive.
Going back, I thought these ads were really good, and what struck me about them was that they were able to take what is, for most folks, a fairly complex land transaction involving tax law in Georgia, federal tax law, and land buying near Disney, which is a real crapshoot for anybody who's ever spent any time looking at it down there. I was raised there. Millions have been made, millions have been lost. It's pretty easy to do both. But what impressed me about it was they were able to sort of take the land transaction thing, and I thought they framed it up pretty well into something that most folks could understand, a fairly complex thing. So I'll give them a lot of points on that. I think what surprised me is I expected Mark to pick up some ground using these ads because I thought they were effective and they made the connection with most folks in Georgia. And he obviously has not made up any ground using these ads. And then what surprised me was that they've continued to use them now for about 3 weeks. I think, Catherine, as you said, there are three different ads.
I think there's three. Mm-hmm.
Three different incarnations of this, thinking that if they just change the spin a little bit, then they'll pick up more ground. And they're apparently not working. At least the polls are telling us that they're not working. So my question is, why are they sticking with this if it's not working after 3 weeks? And why haven't they moved on to also getting some positive messages out there about Mark? And he really hasn't appeared in any ads now for about 3 weeks. They've just been ads about Sonny.
And I was thinking maybe that's the reason he's doing it, because honestly, when you see him on screen, he doesn't seem like a very likable character, you know, for the camera. You see him and he just seems kind of stiff and has that kind of frozen smile on his face with the babies. And
he's a 350-pound man with a 5 o'clock shadow all day long.
I really thought his and this is a different topic, but I really thought he would be a better debater than he's turned out to be. He's very stiff and programmed. Really
yeah.
is.
Yeah. Very much.
I'm with Randy. I mean, you would think there would have been a switch in commercials. All right. You play the first one, cool. All right, but you got another poll result that said, ooh, you didn't move.
Well,
moved lower. At some point, right. Change the platform.
Change the message. Let's find something else.
Because that one just didn't work, but, you know, let's just go with it again.
Well, they make Purdue look bad. They don't make Taylor look any
But
bad.
I think that, like I said before, I think that's the point. At this point in the election, he knows he can't make up enough ground. So the only chance is to make Purdue look bad enough to draw his vote down enough.
Well, what's gonna happen in November?
And November 8th, we'll be talking about how, ooh, not a good idea.
Maybe.
Well, I wonder if they knew that this other land deal was coming and that they may have another commercial prepared to in response to that, and perhaps they're just, you know, going for a theme. I don't know.
The only thing
I'm
that
just guessing.
From my own campaign experience, which is going back a little bit longer than we should be discussing, 20 years or so, I mean, we're getting into the window now where Mark has to begin shifting his message the last week. Why should people vote for me? And so even if something really negative comes up on Sonny, I mean, it's going to have to be really powerful and overwhelming to use a commercial, because most of Mark's commercials are probably in the can now, and they've got to start shifting to a why should I vote for Mark kind of format. I think they pretty much have run their course, and I agree with you that they don't have much going for them right now, and they're just trying to scorch the earth. And
10% libertarian is what you need, right? Right now they're at like 7, 8%. If you can get them at 10%, and Taylor gets 40%, we're in a runoff.
And then they we already know that he doesn't have any money. The Taylor campaign doesn't have money. The Democratic Party doesn't have any money. So they'll be going into a runoff with no money. Purdue's still going to probably have $2 or $3 million in the bank. He can have fun for 30 days. But the question is, what does the Democratic Party of Georgia gain by extending this thing another 28 days or 30 days? I mean, it's going to extend the pain.
Oh, I think
Mark, I'm Randy.
I think Mark can raise money after if it's a runoff. I think he'll be able to.
It'll be the only race going. People will be focused only on that race.
I'm just going to disagree. I mean, we just had a conversation about who's going to win House or Senate. Okay, so if you have all those Republicans who have won the House, bam, all their money's going right to Purdue. If all our money went straight to Taylor, ooh, we have a lot of money now. But that's just not how our House and Senate is playing. I mean, 3 weeks, you're extending the pain beyond the pain, because one, we don't have a ground game. So even if we didn't have money, we could still mobilize the troops.
The only
we
thing
have no morale. Our morale is so low, it's hard to mobilize the troops in 3 weeks to get them up and going and say, let's go for it one more time.
The only thing is, if you look at incumbent politicians who somehow do not get 50% and wind up in a runoff, usually they lose in the runoff. Mm-hmm. Statistically, usually incumbents who get less than 50% lose in the runoff. So there's a better chance than he's got right now, I think.
I can tell you the top 12 counties they're going to go to for the runoff. And I guarantee you, those 12 counties are probably about at least half, more than half, votes Democrat. But I guarantee you, Purdue will still take it. Because it comes down to your ground game when you have zero money in a runoff. But in a runoff, no, it's going to come down to it.
But I think your stats are about a traditional primary runoff situation. This is a general election runoff situation, which is going to be a very different animal. I tend to think that for Sonny Perdue, this is sort of like Huey Long one time. When he announced publicly, the only way I'm going to lose this election is if I get caught in bed with a dead woman and a live boy. And I really think that's kind of what Sonny's looking at.
What do we have, 8 days?
Yeah. 8 days left and we can't find a little boy.
It'd either be a live boy or a dead woman, or he wins. And
animal.
Well, let's move on to the last ad that I was going to show tonight. This is actually an ad from the Carol Hunstein campaign about, is it Mike Wiggins, her opponent for the Georgia Supreme Court. And it's pretty brutal, so let me just show it, and then we can talk about it.
We expect only experienced judges to serve on Georgia Supreme Court. But Mike Wiggins has never tried a case. We expect our Supreme Court to uphold Georgia values. But Mike Wiggins was sued by his own mother for taking her money. He sued his only sister. She said he threatened to kill her while she was 8 months pregnant. A judge ordered Wiggins never to have contact with her again. Mike Wiggins.
The wrong experience, the wrong values for the Supreme Court.
I love it.
I love the ad.
I think it's about time that one of the good guys, and this is a girl, but one of the good guys actually fights back, and shows that, you know, if you're going to turn judicial elections into a political fight, which this has been turned into a political fight, I'm going to fight back.
Yeah.
And she has.
And she didn't start it. She didn't start the political part of it.
Right.
Yeah, I thought it was great. And, of course, he's trying to say, well, it was a mutually agreed upon. I'm like, no, well, you don't have a court order when you have a mutually agreed upon decision.
But it's interesting, his comeback came from the Republican Party.
Oh, yeah, well, that's the big secret, open secret, I guess, about this campaign, is that Wiggins is the Republican guy running for judge, and it's anti-trial bar, and Hunstein is pro-trial bar, and the trial lawyers are behind him and funneling money into her campaign. And unfortunately, in these judge races, we've got to play this thing out like, oh, they're impartial judges. But, you know, we all know, and especially those of us who are members of the bar, that it's a really political, backstabbing organization with all of these mean, vicious divisions, and the trial bar being one of them. And this is the tort reform legislation of last year being played out in a political election. They happen to have chose these two judgeships candidates for the two judge candidates for the debate. You know, on one level, the ad strikes me as a little mean because it wades in sort of a personal thing as opposed to policy. But I think everybody who complains about ads being mean now are a bunch of wimps. This is nothing compared to the way elections have been in America since its founding. I've always sort of preferred that, you know, family issues not be involved. Certainly in this case, it was obviously a dispute over his mother's estate. And but other than that, you know, everything is fair game.
Well, I would just say that, you know, personally, my preference would be that we don't elect Supreme Court justices anyway, because I do personally think that this kind of stuff kind of hurts that branch of government, but if you kind of look at it and stand back and see, well, what can someone running for the Supreme Court run on? Well, they can't really say I'll vote this way or that way on a certain case. There's not a whole lot for them to say except, you know, I'm the incumbent or whatever.
I will strictly interpret the law.
Yeah.
Well, whatever that means.
When you're on a campaign for Supreme Court, you also can't talk about how they voted before, which makes it very difficult in the field, trying to support a Supreme Court justice when you can't say, oh, well, they voted for so-and-so case. You can't.
But then your opponent can.
But your opponent can.
Can use that.
Which makes it very odd to be on a Supreme Court race. So I think this, I mean, I love it because, I mean, all you had to do is, when you're out there working for him, yeah, you remember that guy? Took money, wanted to kill his sister. The little name recognition, I get the commercial. But yeah, I thought it was one of the best ads.
I think it also sort of leads into our last conversation about the gubernatorial race. You know, Mark Taylor ain't doing it for anybody, so she's got to do something.
She's holding down the fort for
him. She's got to do something to get Democratic voters excited about getting out the vote. And this might well do it.
Well, do you think that there's really an anti-democratic sentiment right now, or do you think it's just pro-incumbent? Because the incumbents right now are mostly like at least at the local levels, like for the House districts and the Senate, like Republicans.
Here in Georgia, it is. Nationally, it's clearly not, but in Georgia, it seems that way.
I think it comes down to if the party that is not in power cannot make a case for why people should make a change, they don't make a change.
Yep.
And the Democratic Party here in Georgia has, at least this year, failed to deliver a message that says we need to turn these people out.
Does anyone have any other races that they're looking at or interested in? Or
Fulton County Chair.
Fulton County Chair, yeah.
What about Fulton
County
Chair?
John Eves versus Lee Morris. Lee Morris switched parties based on an appointment by Purdue. I mean, he was going to run against Karen Handel. And then Purdue said, hey, I'll give you an appointment to Greta. He took it. But his mailers are quite different. In North Fulton, he has the Republican Party sending out mailers with him and Bill Lockery and Purdue. Now, in town, he's sending out mailers by himself saying, I was a former Atlanta City Councilman. Look at me. I'm so progressive. So it's quite interesting watching that race. And I think Fulton County not under, you know, a lot of people not being energized, which goes back to my top of the ticket issue. Because if John East was to win, that's 10 years. He's just beat, you know, Republicans held it for 10 years. And we had splits. We've got divisiveness. So I think that's an interesting race that Fulton County residents need to take hold. And the county votes 60% Democrat.
Do you think the county is going to survive the next couple of years, or do you think that this position is not going to...
No, I think the position is going to stay. It depends on who's the bigger coalition builder, who could bridge what needs to be bridged. It's obviously broken.
I'm trying to figure, why would somebody want to... And I don't live in Fulton County, but from the outside, watching what's happened in Fulton County over the last 2 years, why would somebody want to be chairman of the Fulton County Commission? Isn't that like being the king of not a whole lot?
I've heard that they're talking about strengthening that position, though, aren't they?
Over what? The parks and libraries? I mean, what else do they have control over?
Well, no, what they don't do is, like in DeKalb, that chairman, or, you know, is converted. Any, if you look at Brennan gets to rule the world.
Right.
The chairman in Fulton County doesn't get to hire and fire. They basically, you know, are the leader at the commissioners.
Well, that's mainly because DeKalb is mostly unincorporated.
Well, now it's also the way that their structure was built. Cobb is the same as DeKalb, their commissioner. And I don't know why.
Sure,
anybody would
but
want
the real power in government comes from how big the budget is that you're over, and the budget in Fulton County has left.
Mm-hmm.
It has moved out. So people are fighting over, you know,
I think they're fighting over the future of it because you have so much of undeveloped land in South Fulton. I mean, incredible undeveloped land that you can build entirely new communities for. So I think the fight is more about the future of the undeveloped and unincorporated part of Fulton County.
But as somebody who would want to be an elected official, I'm not looking at that and saying, gosh, that looks like fun.
What you on that one, Randy?
It seems like a lot of the chairmen of that commission have like moved on to other political positions.
Well, except for Skandalakis, he moved on to another happy little place.
Yeah, he's the exception rather than the rule. Well, we're actually out of time, and I want to thank everyone for being here. Why don't we go around the table and have final thoughts?
Final thoughts, it's a depressing time to be I can't really call myself a Georgia Democrat, but for somebody who usually votes for Democrats, it's a depressing time to be a Democratic voter in Georgia. There's no question about it.
This is Randy Lewis. I'm not a Democrat and I'm not a Republican, but I am completely underwhelmed by this election season. Weak candidates, weak campaigns, weak messaging, weak commercials. I think they've given everybody a reason to stay in bed and get a couple of hours extra sleep.
This is Catherine from Blog for Democracy. I actually am hopeful for a couple things. I'm hopeful for John Eves in Fulton County, And I'm hopeful for Jim Martin. I think that if Jim Martin can win the lieutenant governorship, that it will be a signal of some sort that there is hope for a progressive agenda in Georgia in the future. Obviously, it may be 2 years or 4 years in the future, but I do think that that does give me hope. Even the fact that he's doing as well as he is and may not win is still hopeful for me.
Hi, I'm Bernita. I am a Democrat. I believe a Democratic Party can rebuild itself with a change in leadership based on grassroots and coordination, where our candidates aren't sitting in the wind by themselves. And I do have hope for 2008 and 2010.
And we're back to me, Joseph G., again. I just want to say I hope that after all of the slightly hopeless sounding things that you've heard from some of our panelists, that you still go out and vote on November 6th.
7th.
Sorry, go vote on the 7th.
Or next week.
or if you're going to early vote. But,
show your ID.
Yes, I hope you go out and vote. You don't need your driver's license. But thank you for listening. Hopefully you'll listen again next month on the Georgia Politics Podcast.